All right, good morning, everybody. Today we are going to finish up 3 John. It only took us 7 weeks to get through 15 verses. So 3 John, right before the book of Jude, which is right before the book of Revelation, which is the very last book of the Bible. And today we're going to be, the title of today's message is Face to Face. We're going to be talking about the beauty of human interaction, especially in this day and age where everything tries to push you to go to social media or to go to Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, all those other social media platforms. But what's interesting about all of those is they have the title social media, but it actually makes people less social. This day and age, we feel good if we can post a comment. We feel as though we had an interaction with somebody. And so what we're going to be talking about is how Paul, or John, sorry, how he wants to have a face-to-face interaction with them. He doesn't want to just send them letters. He doesn't want to just send them correspondence. He wants to actually have a face-to-face, a meaningful conversation with somebody. And we're going to be discussing a little bit about how we are to interact with each other, because it's not just enough for us to have that face-to-face conversation. What kind of conversations are we supposed to have? We're going to be talking about fellowship. We're going to be talking about all the fun stuff that we get to do as a congregation, what sets us apart, really what should set us apart from the rest of the world. So let's dive into this. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "I have much more to say to you, but I don't want to write it with pen and ink, for I hope to see you soon, and then we will talk face to face. Peace be with you. Your friends here send you their greetings. Please give my personal greetings to each of our friends there." What I like about John, if you guys don't know anything about like my prayers don't take a long time. I'm one of those people that I get my need out and that's it. I don't babble on and on and on in repetitive motion. I just say what I need to say to God and then listen. Now, I bet many of you guys are wishing that my studies are that way. But John here, he writes a short letter that is impactful for many people, for thousands of people across the world every single day. He writes a letter that is encouraging, that is uplifting. And then he ends it saying, "Look, I don't want to just write you a letter with a pen and ink. In fact, I want to be there face to face with you." He says, "Peace be with you. Send your greetings to everybody that's there." Or send our greetings to everybody that's there. And so, how many of you have an interaction with somebody on a daily basis? Somebody that's not the same person every single day. You have interactions with different people. Most of us do. You go to the store, you go to work, you go to any number of things. You're going to have an interaction with different people all the time. Now, let me ask you this. When somebody asks you, "How are you?" what is your immediate response? Good. I get that question all day long at my work. I try to mix it up, but they're always these short answers. Not an answer that's going to be inviting to people to come and want to ask more deeper questions. When people at work ask me how I am, I'm all peachy. And they like that because you don't hear that anymore. Or I'll say perfect. Or I'll say good. Or hanging in there. Any number of words. But none of those words invite people to ask more about what's going on. How many of you have ever said just good, even when you're having a bad day? I think we all do it. Because we don't want to invite people to go, oh, so what's going on? We don't want to invite people to actually dig into our lives. We just want to be polite and say, good. And usually we'll follow up, and you? And they'll be like, good. And then you guys part, feeling as though you had a meaningful conversation with somebody. Because you found out that they're good. And they found out that you're good. And everybody's good. Because if everybody's good all the time, why is there so much nastiness in the world? Why is there so much depression? There's this comedian. He's not a clean comedian. I don't recommend you go listen to any of his jokes other than the one I'm going to be telling you. He talks about how he's an Italian family, and then compared to now. He talks about how then, when he was a kid, somebody came up to the door. It was a big old family affair. Everybody's running for the door. The kids are sliding across the floor to get to the door faster. You open the door, you invite them in, and immediately you have the instant coffee, you have the Edamame's cake, you're inviting. It didn't matter what time people showed up. And nowadays, somebody knocks on the door, all of a sudden all the lights go off. You hide. You don't want anybody to know that you're there. Obviously, that's an exaggeration. But how many of us are excited when we hear somebody knock on the door that we weren't expecting? Or like, we're like, great, what's going on? Me, at my house, whenever there's a random knock, my immediate thought is, great, it's the cops telling me that I left a door open again. Because they do that a lot. My kids, they love to leave the van door open. And so the cops, they'll come to my house and they'll be like, just let you know your van door is open. Thank you. I'm pretty sure they just know to drive by my house and just stop and get out and tell me my door's open. But I'm never excited about to see who's at the door. Now my kids are, especially like during the day, right after they get home from school, they're like, ooh, who's at the door? Who can I go and play with? But me, I'm like, who do I have to talk with now? As we get to become more social, we actually become more enclosed. We don't long for that human interaction anymore. We are satisfied either with sending a text message, sending an email, even though those things are pretty much going away too. The email is going away. Or snapping, or seeing a tweet. And I think Facebook is just messaging. But we're fine with that. Now, I'm not saying that all those things are bad, because they do have a purpose. For instance, text messaging. Send a quick text to somebody. Or something that you don't need an answer back immediately, you send out a text, and when they get to it, they get to it. Me, I prefer or I like hearing somebody's voice, as opposed to, especially if it's something important, I'm not going to send it over text. Because how many of you have ever misread a text or read into a text more than what was actually there? And then you're getting all upset. You're getting all hot and bothered because you think that what they're saying, you added an attitude to it. And then you talk to them, they're like, what are you talking about? I just said, have a good day. Oh no, what you said was. And so yes, there are times where human interaction is definitely needed. And there's sometimes where technology has made it convenient for us to reach out to people. For instance, both of my oldest kids, they were in basketball this year. And imagine if the coach had to call every single parent to tell them when practice was, or for in the case of my oldest daughter, Rebecca, when her playoff game was. Whereas he can just send out a text message to everybody and say, hey, this is when the game is, this is where it's at. Real quick, real easy. But for instances like grandma just died or something crazy has happened, you don't want to send that through a text message. There are people that do that. There are people that will fire people from their jobs through Facebook. There are so many instances that electronics or technology is overused to the point where we lose our human interaction. Now, in their times, they didn't have all this. They just had pen and ink. They just had the slow communication, snail mail. And they didn't have this great postal service that we have. Sometimes a letter would take months, if not a year, to get from one location to another. Unless you knew somebody that was already going there, then you can give it to them and they can take it for you. But today, you can talk to somebody. I can talk to my cousin in Africa immediately. I can communicate with her. I can see what's going on. When Rebecca had a project or a report that she had to do on the Congo, who am I going to talk to? The person that lives in the Congo. And what was great is I was able to reach out to her and get an immediate response. Imagine that phone bill if I called her. Roaming charges would be crazy. International fees. But with technology, it's made it convenient. So I'm not here saying that technology is bad, considering that on me right now, I have 3 smart devices. I have watch and 2 phones. It makes it easy when you're having to read the scripture and look up certain aspects of it. Like if I wanted to know the Greek and Hebrew translation of the scripture and what the words really meant, I can look up the lexicon right then. I don't have to go to a Strong's Concordance. I don't have to look it up. I don't have to have this big old book anymore. If you don't know what a Strong's Concordance is, it's a book that is probably twice as thick as this and twice the size. And what it does is it gives you every single time a word is mentioned in the Bible and where it's mentioned. It's crazy. It's big. But now I can just look it up. I can do a Google search. How many times is this word said in the Bible? And it'll tell me. But just because we have that technology at our fingertips, just because we have that accessibility at our fingertips, doesn't mean that we need to stop listening to other people. Doesn't mean that we need to stop participating. Doesn't mean that we have to stop going to services. It just means that now we can take our personal relationship with God to a whole new level. We can know stuff that we wouldn't know before. We can know stuff that it would take people, scholars, years in school to learn. But on the same aspect, what people do is they say, oh, well, why do I need to listen? Or why do I need to go to church when I can just listen to them online? Or I can look it up wherever I want to look up. Well, once again, technology can have a negative aspect. Because everything online, we all know it's true, right? People don't lie on the internet. They can't. Or the fact that there are tons of websites that will lead you astray if you don't know the truth to begin with. And what a lot of it comes down to is having a face-to-face interaction with God, having that that close communication with the Holy Spirit, knowing what the Bible really says. So that way when you read it online or you try to research stuff, you try to enhance your studying, you know when it's real or when it's false. And then, once we know and we get to that point and we start to interact with people, then we have to figure out how is it that we interact with them. Because us as Christians, when we ask each other how we are, it shouldn't be the good as usual. Us as Christians, we should be willing to open up with other Christians and tell them, maybe not open up every deepest, darkest secret that you ever had, but if you're having a bad day, say, I'm having a bad day. I could use some prayer. And then that person could then know how to pray for you. They can, if you need comfort, they can comfort you. If you need a slap on the back of the head, they'll give you a slap on the back of the head. I am not saying now let's go smack everybody around. But we need to have a deeper relationship with each other. Like how it says in 2 Timothy 2:16, it says, but avoid irrelevant babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. If all you do is, you don't go any deeper, if all you're doing is just staying at a surface level, when you communicate with other Christians, then what you're doing is you're stripping yourself from having an experience to grow deeper with God and with other people. God doesn't want us to do this alone. He wants us to interact with as many people as we can. Like how it talks in 1 Corinthians, how we are all part of one body. And I love to use this reference when I talk about the congregation or the body of Christ, is because it has so many different meanings and it has so much that we can learn from, even from our own body. Is just like our own body, if something is wrong with our body, we all, the entire body feels it. How many of you have had the flu this year? Now, those of you that had the flu this year, did your whole body feel it? Or was it just stuck to your head? No, your whole body feels it. You get your energy is just drained. I don't know if anybody else gets it like this, but you get lightheaded. And then your whole body feels like it's like just weighs nothing. Or how many of you have ever broken a bone in your body? I think I've broken 3. When I break a bone in my body, trust me, my body feels it. My body knows that there's something wrong. It doesn't just stay isolated to the spot that it broke. But no, it affects the whole body. I have what's called tendonitis in my wrist. It's this tendon that goes across your thumb joint. And so whenever you use your thumb, it hurts. And trust me, I know when that tendon is inflamed now. It hurts when I pick up even the smallest of things. Like if it was inflamed right now, this would hurt. Trying to sort anything with your thumb hurts. But my whole body knows it. And if we are the body of Christ, when one person is hurting, we should all know it. Doesn't mean that if you're hurting, go around, make sure that everybody knows all that is going on. But when we interact with each other, we should be knowing what's going on. That's why that needs boards, we wanted to put that needs boards up, is because we want to know what you need in your life, no matter how big or how small. You don't have to give us all the details of what's going on, but we want to know how we can pray for you, how we can help you, and how we can help provide for you. And so when we interact with each other, when we ask each other how our day is going, if you're having a bad day, say, I'm having a bad day. Now, it's up to the person that is interacting with you to go, oh man, I'm sorry, and then just walk away. Or they could be like, hey, what can I do? How many of you, and this goes for you guys too, how many of you, when you're having a bad day, a hug can change that? I know it does for me. I know, like, if I'm having a bad day, Allison comes up and just hugs me. For some reason, there's just that reassurance that everything's going to be okay. And Allison has shared that with me, is that when she's mad and she's upset, if I just stop her and hold her, then it lets her know that I'm not going to leave. No matter how bad of a mood she's in, or no matter how bad things seem to get in life, that I will always be there. Now, I'm not saying that as soon as somebody says that they're having a bad day, you just say, bring it in. Come on, bring it in. No. But what I'm getting at is being a little thoughtful can go a long way into affecting somebody's life. Sometimes we do get in a hurry as Christians. And we run into somebody and we know that they like to talk. How many of you have ever avoided somebody because you know that they like to talk? And you're like, I don't want to deal with that right now. And you just go, you walk away. You act like there's somebody way over there that you need to talk to. You're like, wait, is that my kid calling? We come up with all these excuses of why we don't want to interact with certain people. Because we're afraid of them taking up our time. I don't know if you guys remember the list, and I'm going to refer to it quite often because I believe it's something that we need to know, is that how is it that we know we really love somebody? How is it that we know that we are really Christians? The one thing on that list that I pointed out was we put others, or we consider others to be more important than ourselves. That is something I believe that this generation, and it's not just this generation, every generation has had a problem with, is putting others before ourselves. People in general, they like to be self-centered. And I'm not saying that if you avoid somebody every once in a while, you're being self-centered. Because we don't always have the time. But if we're always putting ourselves before others, then our relationship with God probably isn't in the spot where God wants us to be. Because us as Christians, we are to be different than the rest of the world. The rest of the world tells you to think about yourself. The rest of the world says don't interact with people more than you have to. The world tells us that it's all about you. Whereas God is saying, no, it's not all about you. It's all about Him. And out of that obedience to Him, you will interact with other people. You'll care about other people. So we are not to babble. We are not to go on and on and on about nothing. But we are to make it meaningful conversation. Something that's a little bit deeper. Think about the one subject that you can talk for hours about. we all have that one subject, be it sports, be it cars, be it our kids, be it whatever. And then compare that to talking about things of God. Do they compare at all? Do they even come close? Now, I'm not saying that you can't have passions for things outside of God. If you are a car person and you know everything about cars, that is not a bad thing, because that could be a way of you talking to other people. You don't have to shove the Bible down their throat in order to be witnessing to them. But we need to make our conversations meaningful. We can't just babble on about the Super Bowl today. We can't just babble on about whatever it may be. We have to make it meaningful. Because like how it talks in Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools pour out folly. And God has called us to be wise. He doesn't call us to be a fool. He calls us to be wise. And he says, like how it says, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge. Doesn't just give out words. Doesn't just try to fill the air with words. Judah, well, all my kids are great at just filling the air with words. But Judah's getting to that point where he's constantly asking questions about anything and everything. He can't sit still for more than 2 minutes without then going, "What is this? I don't know." You just randomly ask a question. We're driving by something. "What are they doing over there?" "I don't know. They didn't call me and tell me. I'm not their boss." "Well, why are we doing this?" "Oh my goodness, we just are." And then he has follow-up questions that you can tell just he's thinking of it immediately, just to talk, just to break that silence, because he can't sit still. I don't think he really cares about the answer. He just doesn't like the silence. And so how the tongue of the wise will commend knowledge, but the mouth of the fool pours out folly. Are you being knowledgeable with what you say? Are you choosing your words wisely? Or are you just saying the first thing that comes to your mind? Because when we kind of rein in our tongues, then it's like the verse right before that where it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Those of you in a relationship, think about it. When your spouse or when somebody just immediately attacks you, what happens when you attack back? Does that resolve the situation? Do they just go, "Oh, you are perfectly right"? Or do they go, "Oh, you're in for a battle now"? When we do a harsh word, all that's going to do is it's going to cause more anger. And then they're going to give a harsh word back, and it's caused more and more anger. Whereas if you tone down, you think about what you're saying, even just for a second, it can diffuse a situation that much faster. With Judah and basketball, I'm sorry, I have a lot of sports stuff right now just because my kids are in sports. With Judah, as soon as he would get the basketball on a rebound, his immediate response was, "I want to just go and just dribble as fast as I can down the court. Regardless if there's five people already around me, I just want to dribble down as fast as you can." both me and the coach were like, okay, as soon as you get the ball, when you dribble, take a deep breath. Go slow. Think about what you're doing. Look for people to pass to. Look for things to help. Same thing with our words. Somebody attacks you, first thing you need to do is just breathe. Go. Think about what you're going to say. Don't let your emotions control or dictate how you're going to act. Be knowledgeable with your words. We only get so much time on this earth. So do we want to spend more of it arguing and fighting and bickering with people? Or do we want to spend this time having meaningful and useful conversations? Those of you that are married, you don't want to piss off your spouse. You want them to be happy. You want there to be peace in the house. Because if there's not, then there's just constant tension. And when at work, you want to think how you're talking to people. If somebody annoys you, talking trash about them is probably not the best way of resolving a conflict at work. Because remember, us as Christians, we have to be different than the rest of the world. The rest of the world doesn't mind conflict. The rest of the world doesn't mind chaos. The rest of the world doesn't mind tension. We need to be that of reconciling with people. We need to be that of being peacekeepers. And so when we speak, we need to be speaking things that are knowledgeable, that are wise. Now, when I say not everything that comes out of your mouth is not going to be a nugget of wisdom. But what I'm getting at is think about what you're saying. Don't just speak for speaking's sake. And to go along that, along with that, in James chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Be quick to hear. Be that listening ear for somebody, because if you're going through a hard time, that can make all the difference. Somebody that actually just sat there and listened to what is going on in your life. I can't tell you how many people, and I don't know what it is, because some people say I'm unapproachable. Some people say that it's hard for them to talk to me. Well, there are plenty of other people that I don't know very well that just come up to me and want to share stuff with me. Want to tell me what's going on in their life. Don't know why, not complaining most of the time. And the ones that I see that I've had the biggest impact on are the ones where I said absolutely nothing to them. To where I was just that ear to listen. I was just somebody that they can just release on or unload upon all the stress that's going on in their life, all the nastiness, all the chaos, all the anger, all the stuff that they feel as though they have to hold on to. I was just that person that was willing to listen. I was willing to listen and not judge them in return. In high school, there was this one girl that she always was talking to me about her drama. I don't like listening to drama. Drama annoys me. But I would just sit there and listen. I had no advice for her. Most of the time it was girl issues, having issues with other girls. But I would just sit there and listen. And she's usually crying by the end of it. I'm not. But she's usually crying, and then she gives me a hug and says, thank you, and walks away. I was just that person that was quick to listen. If I'm listening to you, if I'm counseling you, if you're coming to me with a problem, I'm not a person that's quick to just try to tell you solutions. There are times, and don't get me wrong, in my mind, I'm thinking, suck it up, buttercup, deal with it. But what comes out is a lot more thoughtful. Because isn't that a lot of times our initial reaction? I don't want to listen to this. I don't want to be here right now. Our mind starts wandering off onto all these other things that we could be doing with our time. But when I'm listening to people, I have to constantly tell myself, okay, focus in on what's going on. Listen to them. Be gentle with them. Because this is something that's big in their life. It may not seem like it's big to you because you're not the one going through it, but it's something big to them. And I need to make sure that what I say to them is meaningful to them. A lot of times my answer is not going to be, you know what, just go ahead, go home and pray about it. Because I think that's the Christian answer that everybody likes to give. But what God has shown me is it's not just about telling people go and pray. It's possibly teaching them how to pray. Teaching them how to look up things. So we're quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So how is it that we're not supposed to talk to each other? So we already know about not babbling on and on. But in Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up and fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So do not let any corrupting talk or coarse talk. How many of you, your conversations drastically changed based upon who you're around? If you're around the guys, probably it's going to be more potty mouth than when you're around the family. Well, what God is getting at is saying, look, let's not let any of that get out. No matter who we're around, they should know who we are. But only let what comes out of your mouth to be building up and edifying. Because there is one whose rash words are like a sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So if what you're saying is coarse gesturing, is just crude, is just corrosive, then all you're going to be doing is you're going to be causing more harm than good. We need to let what comes out of our mouth be healing and edifying. We need to make sure that what we talk about when we are face-to-face with people, that we take it to the next level. And that doesn't just mean with believers. That can mean also with non-believers, is that we are more honest with them, that we are more forthcoming with them, that we're not holding things back. We're not just giving them the answer as usual, but we're allowing people into our lives. Now, it might mean that you'll be the one that people avoid. But God told us, look, we need to be the opposite of the world. People are not going to like us. People are going to hate us. People are going to persecute us. People are going to go to hate us with a passion because of who we follow. Because of who Jesus Christ is in our life, they will despise us. The Christian walk is not one that is easy. It's not one that many will like to go on. But it's one that's rewarding. It's one that is satisfying, one that will never disappoint. And then finishing off here in Ephesians 4:15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, who is the head, into Christ. So when we're speaking, we need to be speaking in love, because we need to be pointing people back to our Savior. We need to be pointing people to somebody, to something. Because every single time we talk with somebody, that's what we're doing, is we're pointing them somewhere. And so if we are Christians and we want to be obedient to God, then we need to be pointing people to God. Not pointing them away, not pointing them to the world, but pointing them to God so that they can possibly know who God is. And as we take communion, we have to remember that that's what He wanted us to remember, was it was all about Him. He bore the cross because of our shame. He bore the cross because of our sins. He bore the cross so that way we didn't have to. And we need to get over ourselves enough to be able to share that with other people. I'm going to go ahead and pass out communion. And then we'll pray. You realize you can just get one afterwards. You can put that back and just get it afterwards.
Okay.
It's juice. These are big pieces today. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go ahead and pray over it. God, we just praise You for this opportunity that You've given us in this country to be able to just openly worship You, follow You, and give our lives to You. I just ask that we remember the body that was broken on our behalf, the stripes that You took, the beating that you withstood, and how You just took it all on our behalf, and how You thought about us all the way through it. I thank You for Your love and Your compassion and Your mercy on us. Go ahead and take of the bread. And God, we just praise You for the blood that washes us white as snow. How we are able to get into the kingdom because of Your sacrifice. How we are now called daughters and sons of you because of what you did on that cross, how you shed your blood for us. You became that pure, spotless lamb, and we praise you and glorify you for it. Allow us just to remember it every single day. Allow us to open up our hearts to you and to other people, and just comfort us, guide us, allow us to see you more clearly. Go ahead and take the cup. And God, we just praise you for this morning. I just ask that you would allow us to become wise with our words. Allow us to become knowledgeable in our interactions. And allow us to make things meaningful again. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Have a good day. I think for right now, if you might be able to stay dry.